Okay, g'day guys. My name's Alex, I'm from The Tripod. And as you know, every Sunday night at 6 p.m. we break down the round that was, essentially all our tips from the previous round, which is round 7 for this week. I'll just get Jacob in here. We'll try and keep it for Sunday night, but first things first, like our page, it's called Punt Squad. The link is in the description to this video. If you do want to get into our group and get all our tips for free, obviously, just message our page, Punters Pod. You can also find all our tips on our website, tripodbetting.com, and on our social medias as well, which is tripod_betting on both Instagram and Twitter. We had a really, really good round this week. 36 and 20 on our best bets, which were all roughly around $1.90. We cashed a 17-1 crown bet multi and also cashed multiple other multis over $3 odds as well. Jacob, how are you, mate?
You'd think I'd be fucking good, wouldn't you? We did have a really good round. And yet, like, the reason I'm not is because, you know, the reason we're a little slow off the mark right now is because we had to recalculate all of our records and our percentages.
Yeah.
We fucking lost another best bet on the bell. So this one was, we thought that the Sharkies would turn up today. We expected Sharkies win. We released 5 plays on today's game. So we'll start with the game that's just finished, if people didn't see it. What was the final score? I kind of blacked out. 26-22?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, 26-22.
We had the Panthers to score less than 4 tries. They fucking managed 2 tries after 77 minutes. So I'm typing it up as a winner, of course. We're trying to get ready for the pod, ready to, you know, sum up the round. I thought, hold on, just make sure they don't score a try this set. Of course they do. They're still on 3. We've got under 3.5. You said most of our tips are $1.90. This was $2.14. The fucking score on the final play of the game, basically, for a 4th try. And that is just one of many terrible beats that we've had this round on, like, the final play. And yet, as you said, we still won 5-leg head-to-head multi, 16-1. We still went 65% on 50 tips or 56 tips this round. We crushed it again. And you mentioned a bunch of those multis that we won at $3, $4 odds as well. Shout-out to Dan, who posts up the Podfather multi, puts basically your favourite 50-50 pick and my favourite 50-50 pick every round to give like a $4 odds multi. That has won 6 out of 7 rounds this season. So
crushing it.
Cool. I guess we should be happy.
Yeah, we should be happy. But you know what? We've got no one to blame except for ourselves. And by ourselves, I mean you. Because 5 minutes before the end of the game, you did text me and say, all right, I'm sending you through the records for this round. And I said, don't fucking jinx it, mate. And then literally a second later, the Panthers were over. And then they were over again about 2 minutes later. So anyway,
you know,
very good round.
More bullshit as well. We added those plays late because we didn't know what was going to happen with Fifita. We had the Panthers to score less than 22.5. And we had that ready to post. And just before we posted it, we went, oh shit, UBet moved the line down to 20.5. And I said, well, let's take under 3.5 tries. It's almost the same thing. Of course, there's a scenario where a team could score 4... could score 4 tries and not exceed 22 points. But with Maloney being a good kicker and with you getting $2.14 odds, we said, we'll take that. It's almost the same thing. And then I fucking knew he wouldn't even attempt the conversion. So they were standing on 22. So that would have won. We would have swept the game. Someone asked, what was our record? 36 and 20 on 56 plays. Should have been 37 and 19. Should have been even better.
It should have been 37 and 19. I had 37 and 19 written down here and I had to fucking cross it out for the pod. But for you guys following along at home, and most of the guys that do watch are in the group, but if you would have put $100, I know that's a lot for some people, but it's not that much to other people. If you would have put $100 on every single one of our plays this week, not only best bets, but all the multis as well, you would have made a little over $4,000 profit. That's profit. That's not revenue. That's profit, which is not bad for 4 days of footy and sitting on your ass with a beer in your hand. So
no, we actually won money on 7 of the 8 games this round. We had tips on all 8 games and we won money on 7 of 8. And you mentioned, multis, people probably aren't putting as much on the multis as they are on the regular plays. And people ask us, how much should you play? It's really what you can afford. And I often say, the more you're winning, the more profit margin you can put into multis. People might know 2 weeks ago, we won at 60-1. We've been winning multis nearly every week. We do give out a handful. The one we won this week, the big one, 17-1, was the crown bet where you get a bonus back if you lose 1 leg. But of the 5 legs that we tipped, there were none really even close. And we suggest putting $50 on that if you can, which means you won over $800 on that one. And we don't even keep a record on our multi results, but it's not even in question how far ahead we are with our multis when we're hitting 60-1, 17-1, 4-1, six out of 7 weeks. We hit 100-1 late last season. And I think, yeah, we need to get into the rest of the round. But of the five matches that we tipped, you know, Roosters, Storm, Warriors, we had Eels and Cowboys. The yep. only one that was even close was the Roosters, who won 6-0 yep. on Thursday night. So how did you see that game?
Yeah, well, I guess, did you want to start with the game that we just saw? I guess I did.
I've said enough on that game.
It's fresh in everyone's minds and stuff, but I did want to say that Dugan was absolutely outstanding at fullback. I know that we've said time and time again that that's probably not their best lineup, but he was fantastic. Fifita coming back, we didn't actually know this morning whether Fifita would be back or not. We saw the lines move, though, so we did take the Sharkies, but he was very good.
We got a private message from him.
Yeah, that's very true. We even hit him up and we asked, mate, are you fucking playing? Need to see you coming all the way from France. Good one, Liam Flovey. But I did want to talk real quickly, just a quick one about public perception and how you can use it to your advantage betting. And, I mean, this week is a perfect example of this game that just was. The Sharkies lost by 20 points last week to the Dragons. If you actually watch that game, and that's why it's important to watch as many games of NRL as you can, because the final score doesn't often tell the full story. The Sharks lost that game by 20. It was much closer. The Panthers rolled the Titans. The Titans were fucking woeful. So if you just looked at those two box scores, you'd say, holy shit, you know, that the Panthers are much better than the Sharks. But you watch this, you watch the games and you realise that it's not. And that's how you get a bit of extra line value. And that certainly went into our decision to play Sharks.
And if you can't watch every game, that's what we're here for. We're going to give you the takes that go beyond the final score.
Yeah, so we'll move along. You already chatted about the game that just was. But Thursday night, the Roosters did beat the Bulldogs 6-0 in the lowest scoring game in a long time that I've seen. We were on the Roosters in that one. We still did win 3 out of 5 bets. It was a fucking boring game for me. I mean, a lot of errors. Very, very disappointed in the Roosters so far this season. Honestly, they are absolutely stacked. Latrell Mitchell is a superstar, and he's the one guy that's actually stood out to me this year. But the rest of the team really needs to stand up. They've got so much talent. They're absolutely stacked their roster, yet they just cannot manage to put a full 80 minutes together, let alone in consecutive weeks. So they've been very disappointed in the Roosters. But like I said, they are a stacked team and they will get better. The Bulldogs, Jesus Christ, their defense is still solid, but it's like they just, some of those guys just past their prime. Like the Morris brothers, they're past their prime. They have no one on that team that can create their own offense. Like Foran is trying his hardest, but he's got nothing to work with there. And even the forwards aren't getting the job done for the Bulldogs. Very, very disappointing. But I actually will be looking to bet on the Roosters in weeks to come because I think they will get better.
Yeah, people were whinging that the Roosters played shit. I mean, you can say that, but the Bulldogs defended quite well. The Bulldogs had so much of the ball. The Bulldogs had a massive penalty disparity. And if you're going to give the Roosters shit for being bad in attack, which they were, you have to give credit for holding the opposition to a goose egg. And they scored an early try. They led from wire to wire. And the defense was impressive. And what was not impressive in attack was that they were not spreading the ball wide at all. They had almost no offloads in the whole match. And yet their error rate was still bad, which is like the worst of both worlds. You're not trying to play expansive footy, but you're fucking up the way. But those are two things that you can definitely improve. So I'm not downgrading my view of how good they are as a team because I know they can improve on that. And the defense is there and it's as good as anybody's.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Friday, what was probably billed as the game of the round until SJ got scratched was Warriors beating the Dragons 20-12 over in Auckland. And we were all over the Warriors in that one. We did go 6 out of 8 on our plays, so 6-2. We were all over the Warriors basically before we heard the news that Shaun Johnson was scratched. And that's the thing about late injuries. You know, you can't really change your bets. We can't take away our bets. We have to roll with them. And the Warriors were very impressive. And I did want to say it's kind of like, obviously, the Warriors played a terrible game last week against Brisbane. But like you say, and like we say quite often, no team is as bad as their worst performance of the year and no team is as good as their best. And, you know, you kind of have to look at the Warriors. They've been exemplary all season long and you can't just downgrade them so much off one bad game. So we knew that we were getting extra value from that. Not only that, I did want to talk about injuries and value over replacement because when the Warriors lost Shaun Johnson against the Roosters, we didn't really see much of this Leno guy, and he was very, very good. But then you say, fuck, it's only one game. But now it's been two games. And so if Shaun Johnson is scratched in the future, we know that we can't downgrade the Warriors as much as probably the bookies would like to because the value of his replacement is also quite high.
Yeah, and when you say, like, we gave out the players on the Warriors, we liked them, they were still an underdog even when Johnson was named to play, and then he was scratched, and we would like to take those players back only because the line moved from +2 to +6 or even maybe 6.5,
Right.
and you'd obviously rather have those better numbers, but it wasn't a case of us being scared off the Warriors. We just wish that we'd gotten better numbers because when a line moves 4 points against you, that's never ideal. But as we saw, Leno's a star player. So many other guys are stepping up. And, you know, yeah, as you mentioned, they had a terrible game last week against Broncos, and they were right back to what they've shown us every other round this season. And the Dragons were not too bad at all, made a lot of line breaks, you know, didn't take their opportunities. So the game was quite close. But we felt comfortable taking the home side, getting points, and we got the result. And you know what? I've got a bad beat counter here. We mentioned that we just got fucked over the final play of Sharks, Panthers.
Yes.
Well, we also had the Warriors. I think it was +1 point in the second half, and it was level. No, the Warriors were down two in the second half because they got up about two tries in the first half, and they scored a late try. And basically, Leno, who was 7 of 7 in his previous start from kicking, just had to slot a conversion, and we wouldn't have gone 6-2; we would have gone 7-1. But no, he missed that as well. So that was another bad beat for us, but another win.
And that was like 20 meters in from the sideline, and he can't fucking make that one. Yet when we have neither team to score 30 points for Warriors Roosters, he slots every fucking one, and they land exactly on 30. Then Friday night, Bunburn at the Storm beat the Broncos at Suncorp 34-20. We did really like the Storm in that game, but we did also like the under. We went 4-3, and it was a tricky one because we absolutely loved the Storm, knew it was a perfect spot for them, and the line was too low. However, we checked the weather report. We did all our due diligence. It said it was going to piss down rain. It pissed down rain all Friday, and then of course it clears like an hour before game time. And so it did end up turning into a track meet. Not that disappointed in the Broncos, to be honest. They did fight hard. They need to really figure out that halves combo. Like they're making changes at fucking 60 minutes, putting Nick Reimer in. It's diabolical, that situation at the Broncos at the moment. But I would like to say the Storm are back. They're back in a big way. And it really helps so much to have fucking quick wingers. I can't say this enough. Like they can just create offense out of nothing. And it's like, you know, they will turn something that, you know, 90% of the teams would make a 20-meter break into an instant try at O'Carra and Bunavale. Absolute speedsters. And this Storm team seems like they're back on track.
Yeah, so it was very cheap to lay -3.5 with the Storm. And yeah, we did foresee more of a close game, but you know, sometimes circumstances transpire that open the game up. Certainly once the Storm got out by 20 or 26 points, the Broncos just played fast and loose, and they did score some late tries, which pushed it over and which cost us a couple of plays. But I mean, Broncos, as you say, were not too bad. You've got to look at the, you know, one of those tries by the Storm, absolute fucking garbage, and we probably don't want to turn into a, you know, a talk show or a debate show about that. We posted about what a fucking
Try
debacle
time.
to call a drop ball a fucking a field goal attempt or a drop kick.
Mate, don't
attempt.
worry, they explained it. They
Okay.
explained it. They
Yeah,
came
so I
out and
won't go
said,
into that.
mate,
But you mentioned
try.
that the elite athleticism of the Storm outside backs, but you have to admit some of the tries they put together were don't want to say fluky, but they just everything stuck and they put together some
Yes.
like some of the best tries and open field play you've seen all season. And that's not going to stick every night. And it did. And it really
No.
killed the Broncos' chances, which was good for us because we took the Storm and yeah, it was in our multis as well. And that was quite a comfortable win.
Yeah, and then the one game we actually lost for the whole round was the Rabbits beating the Raiders, absolutely toasting them 42-22. We had 8 plays on that one. We did like the Raiders and we did like the under, and it went the exact opposite and we lost 8 plays. I know it's kind of easy to say in hindsight, but it's funny. Like, we look back to the start of the season and we had the Rabbits as the fourth best team in the comp, and we were very, very high on the Rabbits, and everyone kind of gave us shit for it and said, oh my God, you've got the Rabbits ahead of Panthers, all these other teams, you have them fourth. Then they had a bevy of injuries. You know, obviously Reynolds was out for a bit, Burgess was out, and now they're pretty much fully healthy, and they were this week. Basically, and we decided to go with the Raiders, and I guess in hindsight, it was probably a bad play by us. But moving forward, I guess, you know, Sam Burgess is probably going to be gone for a few weeks now. Like, they're not going to be fully, you know, they're not going to have their full complement together. When they do, they're totally contenders, but when they don't, then they're going to struggle a little bit. On the flip side, the Raiders, I was not impressed by them, but I guess hopeful because they actually tried in the second half. They didn't just fold. They are playing some better football. They're getting a bit healthier. So I think the Raiders is one of those teams that I'm going to look to probably bet on in the coming weeks rather than against.
Yeah, that game does really annoy me because we were so high on the Rabbitohs. We recognise how good they are. Other people haven't really noticed that. We've mostly won money on the Bunnies this year, but then the last 2 weeks we actually went against them and they're missing a couple of key guys, like last week without Burgess and without Cam Murray, a guy that nobody really knows about, but he is an integral part of that team. And he was also out again yesterday, not that they missed him, but you know, my takeaway from that game is just putrid defence by the Raiders. Same old lazy Raiders and soft try line tries. Like, you can't let in fucking tries that easy. You're going to get blown away and it doesn't matter what good value we find. We work hard to find the best markets. It doesn't matter if the power ratings say it's a good play. If a team's going to fucking lay a shit sandwich on the field like that, you're going to lose a lot of players, and we did in that one.
Speaking about bad beats, then we have the Knights beating the Tigers 22-20. And we loved the Knights in this one and we loved the unders. And we fucking went 3-2 in the absolute most garbage fashion as well. I mean, I know we were on the Knights, but we took the handicap. So actually, we didn't want the Knights to score that last try. But of course, Cunny Dow gets up ahead of the pack and fucking puts it, plants it down. And we lost one bet on that one. So that's, I mean, that's got the bad beat counter at 3. But really, really spirited effort from the Knights. I was very, very impressed. I mean, they obviously came out strong, got out to a 10-0 lead, and then they fucking let the Tigers all the way back. But to have the resilience and the defense actually stepped up towards the end, which is impressive, which we haven't seen from the Knights recently, and to come back there at the end is very, very impressed with the Knights outfit. In regards to the Tigers, I mean, we've kind of been down on the Tigers, still lower on the Tigers than most people have been. And I don't want to say this game shows it, but I mean, they lost to a Knights team and people are saying, oh, fuck, the Tigers should be top four. You should have them top four in your power ratings. Let's not jump to conclusions here. The Tigers are still a bottom eight side, and we're going to treat them as such moving forward.
Yeah, like, let's make this very clear. If the Tigers play the Storm next weekend and my life depends on it, and it's I get even odds on both, I'm taking the Storm 100 times out of 100. So don't tell me because the Tigers already beat the Storm twice this year that they're better than them. You're not going to make money if you're going to react to just the final score. You need to look a little bit past it, and we've copped a lot of shit for going against the Tigers, probably once or twice more than we should have, and we do hold our hand up. We can't... Graded.
Jamie Sauer's got him number one, mate. So, yeah, so Jamie Sauer's got him number one.
Is betting the Tigers to beat the Storm, you know, next week if they're playing, or he will definitely would have had him against the Knights probably by 20. But there you go. Yes. It's the rugby league, and anybody who I talk to about rugby league says how crazy the results have been this competition, like this season. But you can embrace that, and you can embrace a bit of the madness, and that's how you find value. And it's a little bit the same with people saying that the Eels are shit, and we'll get to that one. But you mentioned that it was a bad beat because we had under 7.5 tries. Not only do we lose in a final minute winning try, which we didn't want to see scored, and I'm sure the Tigers didn't want that scored. They've never let in any other fucking late tries for a loss. But
no,
we had under 7.5 tries. There was one try after 35 minutes of play, and there ends up being 7 more tries, including the Tigers scoring 3 in 3 sets, 2 of them off kicks. Not only do we lose a best bet, we actually had another multi this weekend paying 16-1, and that lost by half a point. We had the total under 41.5 in that game. It lands 42 with 6 second-half tries. So, yeah, like for a round that we've gone so well and absolutely pulled the bookie's pants down, we honestly could have crushed them that much more too.
Although I feel like this has been the story of our fucking lives. We've been punting for, like, you know, over a decade now, and I feel like, I don't know whether it's because when you lose, it feels so much worse than when you win, but I feel like we've had 10 times as many bad beats as we have had lucky wins. Then our favourite
game won't find us. You won't find us admitting that we got lucky as often as we do whinge about losing, and that's just punter mentality. And I should probably just mention one more takeaway. If you didn't see that game, Mitchell Pearce out for a long period of time, which is definitely grim news for the Knights.
Absolutely. And like we mentioned in previous weeks with injured player theory, the Knights will probably step up next week and try and sort of rally the troops and have a good performance. But moving forward, they are really going to struggle. Then our favourite game of the round was the Cows. The Cows beating the Titans 26-14. We had 10 bets on that one and we did go 9-1. We've liked the Cowboys all this season, and they've kind of, they have let us down, and they've let the punters down the whole year. They've let their fans down. But we looked at this one very simplistically. The Cowboys have a 3-point home field advantage. They've got one of the strongest home fields in the comp. And they're fucking, frankly, quite a lot better team than the Titans, who we still have as the worst team in the comp. And this line was 4.5. And we said on last week's pod, this line should be closer to 8. And that's roughly where it did close. Not that impressed with the Cowboys' performance, to be perfectly fair. Thurston was a lot better. The forwards were decent, but a lot of drop ball, once again, a lot of mistakes. Like, I think Tom Lawler dropped the ball 2 or 3 times. So they've got room to improve, the Cowboys. And certainly we'll be looking on betting them in weeks to come, because now they've just got a bit of confidence. You know, being 1-6 is a big hole to be in, but 2-5 isn't too bad. The Titans, once again, put in a spirit of performance. They do try till the very end. Fucked us with 2 late tries as well. Fucked one of our bets, or the only bet that we lost on that game. So, yeah, once again, when you want to bet on the Titans, not necessarily in a spot like this, but is when you've got a big spread, they're playing someone, you know, good, maybe at home, and you're getting double-digit points because you know they will put in for the full 80.
And when they're fully healthy, I mean, they're missing Nathan.
Yes.
It did show a little bit. Now, give me thumbs up or thumbs down right now. Do the Cowboys make the 8 from where they are at 2 wins and 5 losses? Yeah, and I agree.
Yeah.
I still think this team is too good to not make the 8, and I think they will turn it around. And you have to remember, you said that we won 9 out of 10 plays in this game. It was our favourite, most confident play of the round to get -4.5. That was absolutely never in doubt. They were up 26-2. They were crushing the Titans. The one play that we lost was the Cowboys to win the second half. They only have to win the second half by 1 point or more. And they were winning the second half 10-0 at the stage. If you watch that game up 26-2 up with 15 to go, you would have thought the Cowboys were going to win that game by 40 and then just miraculously score not one, but 2, the final 2 tries of the game, and they win the second half by 2 points. And we lose another bad beat because we should have won 10 out of 10. And going 10 out of 10, 50-50s on a game is impressive, but we got robbed by a last-minute play once again.
Yes, and I haven't yet counted one lucky fucking win that we've had this week, and I don't think we dead set had one. Then the revenge game of the round was Eels beating Manly 44-10. And we loved the Eels in this one to get their first win. We had 8 plays and we did win 7 of them. Really, really good performance by the Eels. And I guess really, really disappointing by Manly. They did not show up today. I'd just like to highlight kind of 2 betting theories that we do like. Obviously, revenge factor is big, especially in the NRL when there's not that many games per year. So you don't play these teams very often. In a sport like NBA, it's a little bit different. You do play, you know, the same team multiple times in a year. But with the NRL, you know, fucking, especially if you've just gotten absolutely poleaxed 54-0 by them, you know that that team's going to show up the next time round. Another one I would like to highlight as well, and this will be pertinent next week, is the losing streak theory. And that's when you have a team that goes on a long losing streak, like the Eels, and then they break the duck, they get their first win. Then they usually come out and put a really good performance together the week after because all the pressure's off getting that first win. They've got it. Now they're playing with a bit of confidence. And I think that will happen next week.
Yeah, confidence is massive for the Eels. We've said that the last few weeks they haven't been that far away, but they've been missing that kind of edge in attack. And it was there today and they were really good. And yeah, there was the first ever live reaction video that we did. We had a bunch of plays on Parramatta catching a few points against Manly. Unfortunately, they weren't catching +55, so we did lose all of those ones. And, you know, we've got people telling us how stupid we are for thinking that the Eels could beat Manly. Manly are juggernauts. Manly's probably going to win the comp, so we were told. But they don't have a deep roster, and they're struggling right now. And they're the ones low on confidence. Croker is a disaster in the halves. But what are you going to do? They've dropped Jackson Hastings because he started a fight with Cherry. So, and you can see the frustration on the Trbojevic brothers, who are about the only other 2 good or above, you know, really good quality NRL players that they've got. And they lean on those 2 an awful lot. And they struggled. Yeah, you're right. I think Eels will also play a lot better, having got the monkey off their back and with confidence in attack, it showed. Even though Hayne once again got injured, I think Bevan French is back. We straight away wanted to jump on Parramatta +4.5 against the Tigers next week. So we're not going to be previewing any of next week's games, but we've already released that as a best bet. And I think it has moved to 3.5 now on Sportsbet. You can still get +4 on Willie. Or last I heard, you could get 5.5 on TAB if you bet there. So I would be taking that. And just while I think of it, if people are asking about our preview pod, it's usually always Wednesday night, 6 p.m. to preview the whole upcoming round. This week, we got footy in 3 days. We got doubleheader
on
Tuesday being Anzac Day. So we will do the pod 24 hours early. So Tuesday night, 6 p.m. right here where you're watching it, we'll be previewing round 8.
Yeah, fucking only 2 nights time. We got to get studying. So yeah, 6 p.m. on Tuesday night, we'll do another pod. But that'll pretty much do it for this week, guys. Another really, really good round. Hope you guys did make some money this weekend. And yeah, make sure you join our group as well. The easiest way to do that is to message our page. It's called Punters Pod, and we'll get you right in there, and you'll get the tips on time and straight away when we release them. And we also have $50 bonus bet comps every single day, every single game day, basically. So that's $200 worth of bonus bets you can win, and you don't have to pay anything. It's all free. Free comps, free tips. Join the group, and we will see you at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night.
Free money if you're following the tips. Cheers.